بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم اما بعد فاعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل ان كنتم تحبون الله فاتبعوني يحببكم الله ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم والله غفور رحيم صدق الله العظيم. My most respected brothers and elders, our mothers and sisters and others listening at home over the receiver, in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, some people came and they claimed that they love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they made this claim that they love Allah Rabbul Izzat, upon which the verse that I recited now, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهُ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ غَفُورُ رَحِيمٌ was revealed. Let's say, if you really love Allah, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tell them, if you really love Allah, then follow me. In other words, make the ittiba' and follow Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The result will be that Allah will love you, yuhibbukum Allah, wa yaghfir lakum dhunubakum, and Allah will forgive you all your sins, and Allah is most forgiving, most merciful. So from this verse, we understand that there are many ways of loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but from this specific verse we understand that if we want to love Allah, then we should be following the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ulama and commentators have said that the more ihtimam and importance we attach in following the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his way of life, his mannerisms, his etiquette, his conduct, the way he partook of meals, the manner in which he slept, his clothing, his walking, his entire life, this is his sunnah, the life Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam adopted, the way he carried out his life, his dealings, his social conduct, everything, the manner in which he smiled, the manner in which he dealt with his wives, his children, and other people around. So this is the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we bring the sunnah in our lives, and the more sunnah we bring into our lives, the more closer we will become to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Somebody asked one of the mashayikh, and he said, which is the shortest way of loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And the reply was given based on this verse, that follow the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and this is the most easiest way of loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because Allah has commanded, if you love me, and you claim you love me, then follow my Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So ihtimam of sunnah is extremely important in every believer's life. Imam Malik rahmatullahi alayhi said that following the sunnah is like going onto the ark of Nuh alayhi salatu salam, the ship of Nuh alayhi salatu salam. Those who boarded the ship, the believers who boarded the ship, they were saved from the floods. Those who mocked at Nuh alayhi salatu salam and the ark, and they did not board the ship, then they drowned and they were destroyed. So the sunnah is such. That is why Imam Awza'i rahmatullahi alayhi, or one of the muhaddithin, had mentioned that al-i'tisamu bi sunnah najat, that holding and clinging and adhering to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in this lies our salvation. Rasulullah has mentioned, كُلُّ أُمَّتِي يَدْخُلُونَ الْجَنَّةِ إِلَّا مَنْ أَبَى. Every ummati of mine, meaning the believing ummah, will enter Jannah except the one who refuses. قِلَ وَمَنْ يَأْبَى يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. It was asked, Ya Rasulullah, who refuses, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who refuses to enter into paradise? I mean, everybody wants paradise. Everybody wants to go into Jannah. Nobody wants to be left behind. Who is the person who refuses to enter? Rasulullah then mentioned that man ata'ani dakhala al-jannah. That person who obeys me, he will enter Jannah. And that person who disobeys me, who does not follow my sunnah, then he is refusing to enter into paradise. In other words, you do not follow me, then you will be deprived of Jannah. If you follow my footsteps, you follow my way of life, you adopt the sunnah, then you will get salvation, you will gain entry into paradise. You know, in the time of nikah, we hear in the end, man raghiba an sunnati falaysa minni. That person who turns away from my sunnah, then he is not of me. He cannot call himself to be from Ahlul Sunnah wa Jama'ah. He cannot be called one who is following Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And therefore Rasulullah mentioned, taraktu fikum amrain. I left behind for you two matters, two things. If you cling onto this, you'll never go astray. You'll always be guided. What is it? Kitabullah wa sunnati. The Quran. Follow the Quran. This is the most important thing. Following the Quran. And second, my sunnah. My way of life. So respected brothers and elders, bringing in our lives the sunnah. Sunnat ko apnana. To inculcate the sunnah in our lives. There are so many sunnahs in our life that we don't have. There are many kitabs written on the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So from the time Rasulullah rose in the morning, there are du'as that he recited. There's the manner in which he woke up and how he made his wudu, etc. And his tahajjud, there are du'as. A person reads at tahajjud time. Then his fajr salah, and after fajr, his entire day, how he carried out his duties and whatever he did. All these are part of the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Right till he went to bed. There is a sunnah way of sleeping also. There are some certain sunnahs that a person should do before he sleeps. There are certain du'as a person reads. So there are a method, a procedure, even when a person is going to sleep. It's not just a carefree, casual life like the disbeliever. He walks how he wants, he eats how he wants, he sleeps how he wants. There is no guidance and hidayah, there is no noor in their lives. A believer has noor in his life. Why? He has brought the sunnah into his life. And the more sunnah you bring in your life, the more noor you will get. And this is what is highly emphasized in the Quran and in the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And therefore you find the Sahaba radiallahu anhu majma'in especially, and of course the Salafi Saliheen, they will be very, very careful in bringing and adopting one sunnah in their lives. Umar radiallahu ta'ala goes to the Hajar Aswad and he kisses the Hajar Aswad when we make tawaf. But he addressed the Hajar Aswad. He said, "Oh Hajar, you are just a stone. You cannot benefit nor can you harm. I am only kissing you because I saw my master Rasulullah s.a.w. kissing you. And it has become the sunnah of my beloved Rasulullah s.a.w. That is why I am following the sunnah. Otherwise, you are just a stone." So they brought every single act of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam into their lives. There are many, many mashayikh and muhaddithin. Sufyan Thawri rahmatullahi alayhi specifically mentions that whenever any sunnah of Rasulullah reached me, I practice upon it, even if I just did it once in my life. Ma balaghani an Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam shayun illa amiltu alayhi walau marrah. That any time I came across in a hadith of Rasulullah, one sunnah he did, then I immediately acted upon it, even though I may have just done it once in my life. Because there are so many sunnahs that you cannot do every day in your life. But you do it at least once in your life. Why? Because they understood the value of sunnah, the beauty of sunnah. And this was the way to reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore, Hazrat Arif Billah Hakim Akhtar Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi's famous couplet, نقش قدم نبی کے ہے جنت کا راستہ سنت سے ملاتے ہیں اللہ سے ملاتے ہیں سنت کے راستے نقش قدم نبی کے ہے جنت کے راستے that the footsteps of Rasulullah صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم نقش قدم his footsteps of نبی صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم this is the way towards paradise اللہ سے ملاتے ہیں سنت کے راستے and this way of sunnah this life will make us They're connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is what we want. We want the Jannah. We want to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's the solution. Follow the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, the son of Umar radiallahu anhu, among the Sahaba, it is mentioned in many kitabs, his ihtimam of sunnah, his adherence to sunnah was of that level. That every single thing that he knew that this is the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would adopt it to such an extent that whilst he's on a journey, a hajj journey, he's going with his friends or people who are following him, and they come to certain places, example, they reach a certain place and he went there and he sat down as though he needed to relieve himself, but he did not relieve himself. He just sat there for a few moments and he woke up and he rose. And people asked him, what have you done? You just sat there. He said, no, I saw Rasulullah sitting here in this particular place and he relieved himself. I don't have the urge now, but because my master Rasulullah sat there, I'm also following this sunnah. He goes past an area and there was no tree there, but he puts his head under as though he is avoiding a branch. People asked him, what are you doing? He said, there was a tree here and there was a branch, and Rasulullah, to avoid hurting his head on the branch, he put his head, he lowered his head under the branch, and then he went past. I have done the same. To that level, Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu ta'ala, he followed the sunnah. Umar bin Abi Salama radiallahu ta'ala was a young sahabi, little boy, sitting on the lap of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is looking after him. And he's sitting on the lap of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How fortunate. And he's eating his food, little boy, small child. And of course, a small child, you know how he eats food. He said, وَكَانَتْ يَدِي تَطِيشُ فِي الصَّحْفَ. My hand was moving all around the plate. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught me. He says, سَمِّ اللَّهِ. Say Bismillah. وَكُلْ بِيَمِينِكْ. Eat with your right hand. وَكُلْ مِمَّا يَلِيكْ. And eat that which is in front of you. He said, that became my manner of eating throughout my life. He was a little boy. Rasulullah taught him once. He understood this sunnah. And he practiced upon it till that he passed away. He said, وَكَانَ ذَلِكَ تِعْمَتِي بَعْدُ. That remained my manner of eating. So even we have children at home, teach them. Say, سَمِّلَّا. Say, Bismillah. And eat your food. Eat with your right hand. Eat from that side of the plate which is closest to you, so your hand doesn't wander around the dish or the plate and make a mess. So how beautiful the sunnah of Rasulullah is. What beautiful teaching. This is what we need to bring in our life. And then, there was a sahabi, Maqil bin Yasar radiallahu ta'ala. He was sitting with his companions, they were tabi'een, and they were invited by some very royal person, and there were many high profile people sitting in that gathering on the Dasar Khan. And as he is partaking of his meal, one morsel of food slips from his hand and falls onto the tablecloth. So he picks it up, he dusts this morsel of food, and he's about to put it into his mouth when his friend or his servant next to him nudged at him and he said, look at how all these people are staring at you. In other words, don't do this. Just put the morsel down. Immediately he said, أَأَتْرُكُ سُنَّةَ حَبِيبِي لِهَا أُولَٰئِ الْحُمَقَى. Should I abandon the sunnah of my beloved Rasulullah for these fools? For these so-called prominent people who do not understand the value of one morsel of food? And Rasulullah taught us, this is the sunnah, that if a morsel of food falls down, pick it up, dust it, and eat this morsel of food. Do not throw it away. As long as no najasa came on it. So how often we eating at home, food falls down, pick it up, just dust it, and eat. This is the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Licking the fingers, this is the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So there are mannerisms and sunnahs of eating, sleeping, drinking, and so many things in our life. So these sahaba saw this, and immediately they brought it into their lives. We find that Uthman bin Affan radiallahu ta'ala, it's a very lengthy incident of Sulh al-Hudaybiyah. Remember Rasulullah and Sahaba, they go and they attempt to make Umrah, they leave Madinah Munawwara, and they thought they would be able to make the Umrah, but the Mushrikeen of Makkah refused. And Rasulullah had sent Uthman radiallahu ta'ala, because he was well known amongst the Quraysh, he sends him to go and speak to them, and tell them, just give us some chance. Just let us make a Umrah and we'll return to Madinah Munawwara. So while Rasulullah is sitting with Sahaba outside of Makkah, Uthman radiallahu goes in. When Uthman radiallahu goes in, some of the Quraysh, they begin to mock at him and they insult him. Aban bin Sa'id, who was there at the time, was a relative of Uthman radiallahu ta'ala, immediately comes and he gives him amnesty and protection. Then Aban bin Sa'id tells Uthman radiallahu ta'ala, Uthman, look at your clothes. You're so unkempt, shabbily dressed. And look at your trousers so high above you. Why are you wearing your pants so above your ankles? Lower your garment. You are in the presence of all these people here. The Quraysh. Usman radiallahu says, this is the sunnah of my beloved Rasulullah sallam. I will never abandon the sunnah. He never became overwhelmed of the people and the Quraysh and the chieftains over there. He took pride in the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How often we in the corporate world and we're working and we feel, ma'adallah, embarrassed to follow the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. A person cannot put it halfway, at least above your ankles. Extremely important. There are so many ahadith warning us that if your garment goes below your ankles, that part will be in Jahannam. This is for the men folk, not for the women folk. Today is the other way around. The women folk lift their pants so above, or they may not even wear pants, and the men are keeping it right below the ankles. So let us bring these sunnahs in our lives, the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Like that, there were so many other incidents. We find that Mawlana Ilyas rahmatullahi alayhi, this is the last moments of his life. He is bedridden, unable to speak even, and he needs his khuddam to see to him. And Hazrat Mawlana Ilyas rahmatullahi alayhi, just by gesture or ishara with his eye, he would indicate to them when he required something. So he was lying down and he had his socks on, and he indicated to his khadims that remove my socks. Probably he was feeling hot. So the khadims are attempting to pull his socks off, and he pulls his leg back. He withdraws his leg. He does this several times. So they call his son Maulana Yusuf rahmatullahi alayhi, and he comes and he also tries, and his father also pulls his legs up, withdraws his legs. And then he realizes, we have been pulling the right leg off first. This is khilaf of the sunnah. When you're removing your shoe, removing your socks, then remove the leg left first. The left one, then the right one. When the moment they did this, Mawlana Ilyas rahmatullah remained like that, and he allowed them to remove the socks. Imagine at that moment of his life, the ihtimam of sunnah, importance of sunnah, following Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Even at that time, we will say, you know, it's now, the man is tired, or the person, we ourselves, we won't bother, I'm sick, I got an ailment. But these were the real friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's easy to claim we are ashiq of Allah and ashiq of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But let us look, how many sunnahs are we having in our life? Mawlana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi rahmatullahi alayhi, they observed him, that how is he putting on his shoes when he comes out of the masjid? Happened that the masjid was such that the moment that you come out of the door there, there was no corridor or something like how we have. The person is already on the pavement now. So they wanted to see, because when you come out of the masjid, your right leg must still be in the masjid. You come out with your left leg first. But you have, when you're putting your shoes on, you will put your right leg on first. And your right leg is inside the masjid. So how are they going to solve the problem? So they said, let's look at Mawlana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi rahmatullahi, how he does it, because he's got sunnat in his life. So they see that Hazrat Mawlana, as he's emerging from the masjid, he's exiting, he still has his right leg in the masjid, his left leg, he removes it, he reads his masnoon dua, and he places his left leg on top of his left shoe, then he takes out his right leg, and he puts his right leg first in the right shoe. And then he puts on the left leg. Now this is ihtimam of sunnah. We come out of the masjid, any shoe, any leg we just put on, without even considering the sunnah of Rasulullah. So these are important things. If we look at our lives, we will see, I don't have this sunnah, I don't have that sunnah. It's the sunnah of the beard, the sunnah of the clothing. All these things are vital. Hazrat Thani rahmatullah, he has mentioned somewhere, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows his love to the people who follow and imitate, they have mushabahat of the attire of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The manner in which my Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had, what type of clothing he wore, I'm also wearing that. And then Allah gets happy because he's imitating my beloved Habib sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this is important, especially for us menfolk. We have the beard, etc. We should try and bring this sunnah in our lives. Mawlana Qasim Nanoti rahmatullahi alayhi. And the exact thing was found in the life of Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullahi alayhi. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullahi alayhi, one of the four
great imams, like Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi, Imam Malik rahmatullahi, Imam Shafi rahmatullahi, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullahi. He was a great faqih, great muhaddith, extremely pious. He's written a compilation of hadith known as Musnad Ahmad, with there are thousands and thousands of hadith in there. So when there was a warrant of arrest for him, it's a long story, he was on haqq, he was on the truth, and the governor of that time was against him, and they were looking, they were searching for him. And Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullahi, he escapes, he flees. So a friend of his keeps him, conceals him in his house. So he remains in the first day, second day, the third day. After 3 days, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullahi now takes his belongings and he's moving, coming out. His friend says, what are you doing? That they will find you, they will arrest you, they will kill you. He says, the sunnah of my beloved Rasulullah sallam was to hide only for 3 days, indicating to the story of the hijrah, when Rasulullah made hijrat, and they hid in the cave of Thawr for 3 days only. Now look at that sunnah. Our minds won't even go to those type of sunnahs. Our minds only go to that sunnah which is easy, and of course we should do it when it comes to eating meals, etc. But he looked at that, and the same thing happened to Mawlana Qasim Nanuti rahmatullahi, when the British were looking, searching for him, and Mawlana Qasim Nanuti rahmatullahi also stayed in some person's house just for 3 days, and then he came out and he said, this is the sunnah of my beloved Rasulullah sallam. So like this, Mawlana Qasim Nanuti rahmatullahi, he would, when he comes back from any journey, it was the sunnah of Rasulullah sallam that first you go to the masjid, perform 2 rakat salat if it is time for nafil time there, it's not makruh time, and then he would go home. And this was the exact sunnah of Rasulullah sallam. After any jihad or expedition, first he would come to the masjid, perform 2 rakat salat, then he would go to his daughter's house, Fatima radiallahu ta'ala, and then his wife's home. Mawlana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi rahmatullahi alayhi specifically mentioned about him that he made wasiyat to his wife and children. He said that I'm giving you very, very important nasihat and wasiyat and advice that you must always make ihtimam of sunnah. Bring the sunnah in your life. The further away you're going from sunnah, the further away you're going away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these salaf salihin, we can mention so many other incidents, Hazrat Thani rahmatullahi alayhi. You know, a man, you can't explain that his taqwa and his life was so dedicated in his writing of different kitabs. And those books are not ordinary books. His tafsir, Bayan al-Quran, is a masterpiece. Ulama struggle to understand what's written inside there. So Hazrat Thani rahmatullahi was a man of principle and usul. People will come to him and you will see, bay, if you want to take bayat and you want to become a murid, etc., and you want islah, then you go to that muzrug and that person, that khanka. If you want to become insan and human being, then you come sit by me. He will teach people how to greet, how to say, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. So his whole life was just dedicated to masjid, his home, and seeing to the people, etc. On one occasion now, he's traveling with his wife, and they come to a certain area, like this jungle type of area. Hazrat Thani rahmatullah looks around, and he sees there's nobody. He says, tamanna yeti, I had this desire from long, and never got this opportunity, that it was the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he ran a race with Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala, when there were nobody around there. And now also I got this chance. So he and his wife, they ran a race just to imitate the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That was the akabir and the salaf salihin. One sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is wearing a gold ring, a pure gold ring, and this is not permissible for men to wear. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam sees it, فَنَزَعَهُ وَطَرَحَهُ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ. He said, pull it out and threw it onto the ground. And then Rasulullah said, that how can one of you be putting a coal of Jahannam on his hand? In other words, he equated this gold ring to a coal of Jahannam. And Rasulullah expressed his displeasure and he went away. Some people who are around there then tell the Sahabi, they pick it up. In tafi' bihi, you can use it for some other thing, you don't have to wear it. Sell it or give it to somebody and you get some money. Or use it for something else. He said, I can never do so. When my master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam threw it down, I will never have that himmat and courage to pick it up again and use it for any benefit. So respected brothers and elders and mothers and sisters, ittiba is the sunnat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Try and emulate more and more sunnat in our life if we really claim that we love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهُ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ. I mentioned many times, it's not just the external sunnats, it's not just the beard and the kurta, etc., or the eating, or the drinking, but they also the batini sunnats. Nabi Kareem tells Anas radiallahu ta'ala, يَا بُنَيَّ إِن قَدَرْتَ أَن تُصْبِحَ وَتُمْسِيَ وَلَيْسَ فِي قَلْبِكَ غِشٌ لِأَحَدٍ فَافْعَلْ وَذَلِكَ مِنْ سُنَّتِي وَمَنْ أَحَبَّ سُنَّتِي فَقَدْ أَحَبَّنِي وَمَنْ أَحَبَّنِي كَانَ مَعِيَ فِي الْجَنَّةِ. He says, O Anas, if you are able to rise every morning in such a condition that you have no malice in your heart, then do so. Why? This is my sunnah. This is my way of life. And whoever loves my sunnah, loves me. Whoever loves me, he will be with me in Jannah. May Allah Ta'ala grant all of us a tawfiq and hidayat to bring into our lives, inculcate zahiri, batini, sunnat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And inshallah, by doing so, we will become the mahbub of Allah and the mahbub of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the way to Jannah to become easy for us. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Besides the Sharif. لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم لا إله إلا الله 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 محمد رسول الله صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم لا إله إلا الله 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 لا إله إلا الله
لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم. الله جل جلاله وتعالى شأنه. الله 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 لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم. اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله لا نحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم يا أول الأولين ويا آخر الآخرين ويا ذا القوة المتين ويا راحم المساكين ويا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم لغناكم عافر اللهم لخطاكم عافر ما اللهم forgive us my Allah اللهم forgive us my Allah. Allah, mouth is closed now, my Allah. We do not know how long we are going to live, my Allah. Time is running out, my Allah. Days are passing so quick, my Allah. Hey, Malik Kareem, we cannot catch up with time, my Allah. Ya Allah, everything is in your control, my Allah. Ya Allah, you are our master, our nourisher, our cherisher, our sustainer, my Allah. Hey, Malik Kareem, ya Allah, we have got the Quran and Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ya Allah, but we are turning away from the Quran and the Sunnah, my Allah. Ya Allah, we know you are becoming displeased with us, my Allah. And that is why there is no sukoon and chain in our lives, my Allah. Ya Allah, we're just carrying on our lives, ya Allah. Just as we please, following nafs and shaitan, my Allah. Eh, Malik Kareem, we beg you, my Allah. Give us a tawfiq of following the Quran and the Sunnah of Rasulullah SAW. Ya Allah, such that you become pleased with us, my Allah. Ya Allah, make us adhere to Quran and Sunnah, my Allah. Ya Allah, with the correct understanding, my Allah. And following in the correct way, my Allah, following the footsteps of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ya Allah, we want to gain your pleasure, my Allah. We want Jannatul Firdaus, my Allah. Lekin hum kamzor hai, hum zaeef hai, ya Allah. Ya Allah, we falter, we blunder, ya Allah. Ya Allah, we slip, we fall, my Allah. Ya Malik Kareem, you are so loving, my Allah. Ya Allah, you are al-wadood, my Allah. Ya Allah, you are ghafoor and raheem, my Allah. You are kareem, ya Allah. Ya Allah, you guide us, my Allah. Help us, my Allah. Make us become good, my Allah. Make us become pious, my Allah. Ya Allah, don't make our lives pass in this world. And we fail when we go into the qabr and we ask, Man Rabbuk Ma Deenuk Man Hadha Rajul. Ya Allah, and we do not give the correct answers. Eh, Malik Kareem, help us. Give us salvation in the akhirat, my Allah. Overlook our faults and mistakes, my Allah. Ya Allah, humari dilo ko mustafa, mujalla, muzakka bana. Ya Allah, we've got nobody else to ask from, my Allah. There is no other person we can turn to, my Allah. Allah, you know each one of us, my Allah. You know our realities, my Allah. Ya Allah, people know other things of us, my Allah. You know the inside, my Allah. Eh, Malik Kareem, ya Allah.
Make us become nek and salih, my Allah. Ya Allah, do not expose our weaknesses and faults, my Allah. Ya Allah, you are ghafar al-dhunub, satar al-huyub, my Allah. Ya Allah, you are so kind and so merciful and so loving, my Allah. Ya Allah, what else and where else can we go, my Allah? What else can we beg from you, ya Allah, but that you become ours? Make us yours, my Allah. Allah, you become ours. Make us yours, my Allah. We're making shukr to you for all the ni'mas you've bestowed upon us, my Allah. Especially you give us iman, my Allah. Ya Allah, without any doing from our side, my Allah, you blessed us with iman. Make us live with iman. Make us die with iman. Raise us in the riyah of qiyamah with iman. Ya Allah, you made us in the ummah of our beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, he's got such a beautiful sunnah that he left for us to follow, my Allah. Give us the tawfiq now following the sunnat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ey Malik al-Kareem, grant all of us afiyat. Give us chain and sukoon in our lives, my Allah. Ya Allah, we're living lives of fear, my Allah. Ey Malik al-Kareem, remove the fear that we have in our hearts, my Allah. Ya Allah, make us become strong now, my Allah. Give us that bond and ta'alluq with you, my Allah. Make everything else in this dunya become H and zero and naught, my Allah. Ya Allah, fill our hearts with your ishq and muhabbat and the ishq and muhabbat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Give us afiyat in our lives, my Allah. Afiyat in dunya and akhirat, my Allah. Give us afiyat in our deen, my Allah. Ya Allah, give us salamati, hifazat, izzat, aman, chain, sukoon, rahat, protection, your marifat, give us your qurb. Give us yaqeen, your zaat, my Allah. Ya Allah, give us, ya Allah, the sweetness of iman. The sweetness of begging and raising our hands to you, my Allah. The sweetness of making sajda, my Allah. When we say Subhana Rabbi al-A'la, give us that enjoyment when we are begging and bowing before you, my Allah. Ey Malik al-Kareem, ya Allah, give us halal and tayyib, rozi. Give us plentiful, my Allah. Make us use it the correct way, my Allah. Protect us from haram, my Allah. Ya Allah, not even a single morsel of haram has entered our bellies, my Allah. Ya Allah, there are so many people who are not well, my Allah. Every day we come to know somebody has got cancer, somebody has got some heart problem, somebody has got some other ailment and sickness. Ya Allah, shifa is in your hand, my Allah. You are Shafi, my Allah. Allah grant each person, ya Allah, who is not well, give him shifa kamil, ajil, mustaqir, daim. Ya Allah, all the marhumin, give them jannatul firdaus. There are so many young, ya Allah, widows, ya Allah. We've got nobody to look after them and of yateem children. Ya Allah, you take care of them, my Allah. Grant them sabri jameel, my Allah. Give all the marhumin, the highest of stages in Jannah, my Allah. Ey Malik al-Kareem, there are so many young boys and girls of marriageable age, my Allah. They are desperately waiting to find the right partner, my Allah. Ya Allah, they do not want to commit zina, my Allah. Help them, guide them, ya Allah. You protect them, ya Allah. Protect their chastity, my Allah. You find them suitable partners, my Allah. And bless them with the nikah full of barakat and afiyat and happiness, my Allah. Before they become too old and become difficult for them to get married, my Allah. And those who are married and got no children, bless them with pious offspring, my Allah. Let our children become the coolness of our eyes. Let them be anki tandak, my Allah. Guide them, help them, protect them, my Allah. They will be the flag bearers of Islam, my Allah. Ey Malik al-Kareem, ya Allah, remove fitan and fasad from our life and the world, my Allah. Ey Malik al-Kareem, ya Allah, give us maut with iman, maut in Madinah Sharif, buried in Jannatul Baqi, grant us the shafaat of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Holy Kothar water from his Mubarak hands. Ya Allah, make us end the Jannat without any reckoning. Protect us from azab of qabr, azab of Jahannam, from every big and small fitna, especially the fitnas of Dajjal. Allah, O brothers who are here tonight, my Allah, you've raised your hands, my Allah. O mothers, sisters and others at home, my Allah. Only you know what hajat we have, my Allah. What our needs are, my Allah. Ey Malik al-Kareem, you know what our problems are, what our worries are, what our sorrows are. Ey Allah, you are most mighty and powerful, my Allah. Ya Allah, we know that when we will turn to you only, my Allah. Iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'een. You alone we worship, my Allah. And you alone we ask for help, my Allah. Give us that help and madad, my Allah. Fulfill our hajat and needs. Ya qadhi al-hajat. Ya dafi' al-baliyat. Ya hal al-mushkilat. Allahumma kashif al-gham. Mufarrid al-ham. Mujib da'wat al-mutarreen idha da'uk. Rahman al-dunya wal-akhirah. ورحيمهما فارحمنا في حاجاتنا كلها بقضائها ونجاحها رحمة تغنينا بها عن رحمة من سواك. Ya Allah, forgive the ummah of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Protect the ummah of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Help the ummah of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ya Allah, Muslim brothers and sisters, in different parts of the world, my Allah, where they're being oppressed, my Allah. Ya Allah, you remove that oppression, especially in Gaza, my Allah. Ya Allah, it's going to be 1 year just now, my Allah. Ya Allah, days have passed so quickly, my Allah. Ya Allah, every moment for them, ya Allah, what the cleave they are going through, my Allah. Ya Allah, you give them your special mercies now, my Allah. Special madad, my Allah. Give them sukoon, my Allah. Grant them afiyat, my Allah. Remove the difficulties, my Allah. Grant them victory, my Allah. No power in this world can overpower you, my Allah. You are ghalib, you are never maghloob, my Allah. Ya Allah, you are nasir and you are nasir. You are qadir and muqtadir, my Allah. Ya Allah, you have said, inna Allah ala kulli shayin qadir. That ya Allah, you have got power over everything, my Allah. Ya Allah, show us your power, my Allah. Show us the ajayib of your qudrat, my Allah. Destroy the enemy, my Allah. Ya Allah, help us, guide us, my Allah. Make our children, our grandchildren become the coolness of our eyes. Make them excellent hufaz, ulama, sulaha, atqiya, abrar, muqarrabin, maqbooleen, my Allah. Allah, hazirin, ghaibin, sabki dua, qabool, farma. So many people requested dua from far and abroad, my Allah. Except the jaiz murad. Allah, give grant us ikhlas, my Allah. Grant us ikhlas, my Allah, and maqbooliyat. Ya Allah, grant us, ya Allah, unity, my Allah. Ya Allah, do not destroy us by becoming disunited, my Allah. Help us, guide us. Don't make us follow our nafs and follow shaitan, my Allah. Make us follow our beloved Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rabbana hablana min azwajina wa dhurriyatina qurrata a'yun, waja'alna lil muttaqina imama. Rabbana taqabbal minna, innaka anta as-sami'u al-alim, wa tub 'alayna ya maulana. إنك أنت التواب الرحيم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.